Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
And good, glorious day to you all. Thank you for the privilege of your time. I'm Randy Dean, and as I was just introduced by my lovely wife, I'm the No BS Bishop, here to bring to you the theme of being alive to love, and all other lesser priorities are potential BS. So here we go, right into it. I am the author of the book, Radiance. If we're the light of the world, why is everything so dark? So you can go to Amazon.com, look that book up, Radiance, Randy Dean, you'll find it there. If you'd like a hard copy of it, just give me a shout. I'd be happy to give you a hard copy or sell you a hard copy. I don't know, if whatever you're inclined to do. But in my book, Radiance, I published by Destiny Image Publishers, I said on page 125, this made this statement about love. In the absence of love, we become reckless. In the aberrations of love, we become abnormal. But in the full-on transcendent supremacy of love, we are free to become the full humans we were all created to be. That's from my book, Radiance, on page 125. In the absence of love, we become reckless. When love is absent from life, there's a recklessness, there's a self-destructiveness, there's a free fall kind of lifestyle that is negative at best and completely destructive at worst. Love is the solution to the negativity of our life. Love is that priority, that value that will pull you up out of that free fall and aim you toward the greatest purposes for which you are on this planet. There's no other greater purpose. There's no other greater value. There's no other greater aim than love. When somebody asks me, what is my purpose in life? I can answer that in a half a second. Love is your purpose. Not to be loved. Now hear this carefully. I'm as eager to be loved as anybody listening. I was trying to think of a clever way to say that, but there's no clever way to say it. I want to be loved. I love to be loved. I want love coming my way. But I make no mistake about it. If I'm waiting for others to love me before I will be a lover, then I'm waiting in vain. It is my call, my calling, my purpose to be a lover, to go out and to love, so that in my cry for love, I am planting seeds for love. Whatever your crop is the seeds you plant. So I'm planting seeds of life, seeds of love. Yeah, there's another statement, seeds of life and love. In the absence of love, we become reckless. But in the aberrations of love, we become abnormal. And an aberration of love really isn't love at all. But to make it as simple as I could in my book, there are aberrations. The aberrations are codependency. The aberrations are enabling people to become self-destructive or to be addicted to drugs or other destructive purposes in life. There are aberrations of love. And again, that isn't love at all. Love, real love, is never codependent. Real love is never enabling. Real love is that which believes the best in people, but at the same time will not support them in their dysfunction. It will always love them through their dysfunction, but it will not support their dysfunction. Because I choose to sustain in myself health and life. And when I choose that in myself, then I plant that seed outward from me, then I reap that harvest. There is a full-on transcendency of love that will free us to be the humans that we're called to be. But once again, let me emphasize with every ounce of passion and purpose I know how, we must be the givers of love first. Do not wait for love to arrive at your doorstep before you choose to love, because that will be a terrible and dark, long wait. Love is an art. There's a book that was written years ago called The Art of Love. I wish I had I had the creativity to have discovered that in my own life and title, but somebody else has already written the book. But I love the notion. I love the essence of that phrase, the art of love. Love isn't a science. Love does not come to us through scientific formula. And in fact, I believe that people who try to sell you the scientific formula for love are just BSing you. And once again, I am the No BS Bishop. Do not fall for formulas for love. Be a person that lives the art of love. And in the art of love, there are nuances. There are free forms. There is a whole lot of freedom of expression. There are means by which to love that are not scientific or formula-based, but there are free-form ideas of love. A perfect example. Every parent listening to me right now can tell you almost to the moment in the day and the time when your little one, your child, your little boy, your little girl came home from school with that hideous little drawing or that ugly little clay creation they made at school, and they brought it to you and said, "I made this for you. I did this for you." Every parent knows that child did that in love, and yet that little sculpture, that little painting, that little crayon drawing or pencil sketch, it's kind of ugly on the true scientific form of life, but it was love. It was full of love. That child's love for you created something, and oh baby, that by itself is the expression of art. And in that child's artistic expression of love, you felt love like nothing else could ever express it. You probably put that ugly painting on your refrigerator. You probably show your friends that sculpture when they come to your office. Why? Because love acted in an artful way. Now, make no mistake about science and love. We can, and it has been proven medically, how lives change when love is a part of our experience. Scientists and medical research has shown that even baby monkeys that are not held and nurtured by a mama monkey, that little baby monkey becomes aberrant. That baby monkey does not grow in a healthy way. There has to be the love, the touch, the kindness of mama's nurture. That's proven in medical science. And so science does identify love, but you cannot define love in a scientific way or in any kind of formula. There's a great book out there and a series of teachings called the Five Love Languages. I think it's a great exercise. I think it's an awesome means by which to discover how you have grown to become loved and how to love. But I have a tiny bit of reservation about it, only because sometimes we Western American people with our engineering mentality want to make that the formula for how love works. And it becomes then a perfunctory habit of, well, my love language is blank. My love language is this. And so then we die devolve our love understanding to that scientific explanation. I'm not a fan of that view of it, though. Again, Five Love Languages is a helpful study. It's a helpful research thing. It's helpful for couples. It's helpful for families to get some handles on how things are going in your experience in life. But at the end of it all, never let love be defined scientifically or by a formula. So let me, at the risk of even violating what I just said, let me give you a list of things that are expressions of love, that give love some expressiveness, some, if you will, if we could put it, these are the two lanes of love, and we can drive on these two lanes, and if we get too far off to the left or right, we're in the shoulder. So staying within these two lanes is how love is experienced, how love is an art, how you can draw the painting of love, how you can write the poetry of love. Here it is. Love expects. A few weeks ago, I said we should be expecting and experiencing love. There's nothing wrong with expecting it, and there's nothing wrong with going out to seek the experience of love. It's absolutely normal. It's a part of the human experience. So love expects. Love longs. Make sure that you're stirring the longing of love. And I mean, again, Remember, giving that love. Expect yourself to be a lover. Give yourself plenty of room in every day to look for means by which you can love. Second of all, love is relational. I think that's obvious, and yet it needs to be stated. You can't love in a vacuum. You cannot love all by yourself. Yes, you should love yourself. Love others as you love yourself. That's important. But to remain in an isolated form with love is to miss the beauty of what can come out of love if you will seek out your love to be a relational practice. Love is relational. You can't go off the grid all by yourself, live in a cabin somewhere, and be fully expressive and have a full art of love going on in your life. So love expects. Love is relational. Love is contagious. I believe that people who love don't have to go around telling everybody, hey, I'm a lover. I think everybody knows. That guy right there, that lady right there, they love. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, they're a lover. Love is contagious. You will reap what you have sown is one way of saying it. Another way of saying it is love is beautiful karma. Karma, I won't use the other word for what karma is, but love, karma can also be a love return. It's filling your love tank. It's being able to express life in a manner of love so that life brings to you the things that you're giving. And love is the highest thing that we should each one of us be seeking to give. Give love, and I promise you, love will make you contagious. The next thing is, love is ready for action. Love says that in every moment of every day, I'm seeking the act of love, to love someone somewhere, somehow, to see to it that even strangers are aware of the fact that I am a lover. No matter whether it's the store clerk or the post office agent or a policeman who may stop me for speeding. I don't want to go there too much. But, you know, whoever it is going to get my love. Whoever, wherever, they're going to get my love. You know, here in America right now, and it's been going on for some years, we're in such a pitched battle of hatred, a pitched battle of me against you, us against them, the blue against the red, the left against the right. Oh my goodness, we're losing traction in our nation to be a people of love. And in order to change that, we need to digest this down to daily action. We need to see that love is ready for action every day. Every moment of every day. For instance, you know, I'm recording this at the time of the holidays, and there's a lot of discussion of how do you manage your family gatherings with the partisanship and the bitter divisiveness of our nation right now. And you should have these kind of conversations here or there and make sure your table manners are in place. And I agree with all of that. But I would also suggest that if you want your holidays to be happy and loving, then practice happy and loving values all year long. Don't try to pull them up out of the closet and dust them off. Hey, we better love. Since it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or the New Year's holiday, we better be loving. No. Yes, you should. But don't just pull it out for the holidays. Make it your daily practice. Love is ready for action. Love is ready to hold the door for people. Love is ready to look somebody in the eye and smile and nod at them. Love is ready for action when you hear about a need for volunteerism. I work with a community action program where we are constantly knocking on the door for volunteers. We need every day, every week, every month, every year, an army of volunteers to sustain the things that we do. We just don't have the money to hire everybody we'd love to hire. But the reality is we live and breathe and eat and sleep for volunteers. And I believe that volunteerism has to be something that starts with love. If you love your community, if you love your neighbor, if you love yourself, if you love your family, then you are a person that is ready for action. So love expects. Love is relational. Love is contagious. Love is ready for action. Love dreams. Hear that again. Love dreams. when you are when you're a lover, you're dreaming of how to sustain a loving environment in the corridors of your life. You're dreaming of how your love can grow and become more and more beautiful, more and more sustained, and more creative. Remember, I started this broadcast by suggesting that love is an art form. It's not a science. So lovers dream. Lovers, you know, lay in bed at night, or they have meditation times, or they journal, or they do things that stir the dreaminess of how life could and should be. Love dreams. The next thing is, and I think this is self-evident, but it should be stated anyway, love is passionate. The word for passion is to know your purpose and to do it at all costs. That's what passion is. Passion sometimes is misunderstood by a culture that glamorizes everything in the flesh. Everything that we do in the flesh is, you know, the passion of the flesh. You know, if I'm out screaming my head off at a political rally, that's passion. If I mean, there's so many ways to define it, but I think you get the picture there. If I'm screaming my head off, I'm angry, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore, we consider that to be passion. Let me redefine passion for you. Passion is knowing what your purpose is and doing it no matter what the cost. That's what passion is, and love is passionate. And if you know that love is your purpose, then you do it no matter what the cost. I promise you, love will cost you something. Love will sometimes cost you everything. But when you understand that love and the greatest reward of love is in the loving act itself, the greatest reward of love is in the loving act itself. And so you understand that love pulls you away from all the BS of life, all the fakery, all the fake it till you make it, all of that stuff, and it pulls you toward a passion of commitment, understanding that I have one calling in this life, love. You remember the old movie, it's been some years ago, City Slickers. And who was the old crusty cowboy? I think his name was Shorty. He was on the horse, and the main character there was asking him, Shorty, what's the meaning of life? And Shorty just held up one finger, and the main character said, well, what do you mean by that one finger? And Shorty said, one thing. And, of course, he used an expletive I won't use, but life is about one thing. And I'm proposing to you, life is about love. It's about one thing. And living your life in a passionate pursuit of love is an understanding that love is a passion. Love creates passion, and love sustains passion over the long haul. Love isn't just me shouting in a political rally. Love is me living a life of gratitude and goodness and mercy, forgiveness, and grace in every relationship I live with. Next thing is, love initiates. Love doesn't wait for you. Love says, up, oh, I'm going to step up to the plate and I'm going to get this done. I'm not going to wait for somebody else. I'm going to be the initiator. I will initiate the action of love. So if you join me late, here's the list that I've given. Here's what living for love means. It means love expects. Love is relational. Love is contagious. Love's ready for action. Love is passionate. Love initiates. And the next thing is, love has a perspective of life that is wide and tall and deep. Love has a perspective of life that is enormous. Love doesn't see in the small categories of I'm right, you're wrong, let's talk. Love doesn't see life as a competition of me against you. Love is a wide perspective. Love has an inclusive mentality. Love doesn't seek to exclude anybody. Love seeks to include everybody. Somehow, some way, I'm going to make my little personal village as big as I know how to include everybody. I don't want to put my village in some kind of a exclusive little walled-in a fortress. I want to make sure that the village of Randy is a wide-open village, open at all times. There's always room in the inn of Randy Dean. So love has a wide perspective, an enormous capacity to see that every human being has some value. Now, a thought crosses my mind, and I've been intending to say this now for some weeks, and that is, when you find somebody who is truly unlovable. And there are some of those people. I've met them. In fact, well, I could tell stories, and I don't have time now. But listen, there are people who are seemingly unlovable. I want to underscore that, seemingly unlovable. But when we see that seemingly unlovable person, we need to back away, step away from the judgment of what we think we see there, and be ready to understand one thing about that unlovable person. Are you ready? You should have a little drum roll for yourself out there. The unlovable people in your life, that unlovable soul, that little cringing, whining, bitter, selfish soul who seems so unlovable, here's the answer to what's going on in their life. They have not experienced love. Somewhere in their life, there has been a short circuit in their being loved, whether it was their mama, their daddy, their grandparents, their entire family, siblings, doesn't matter. I'm not even going to get into the specifics of who should have and who could have, but I'm telling you, that one unlovable person that you can look at and say, oh, they're so miserable, they're so angry and crabby, you can frame that life in this one category, and that is a person who has been largely absent from being loved, and that's why they have fallen into this dark hole of crabbiness and unlovable behavior. Now, what should you do with that? Well, you should carefully seek your own initiative. And remember my list here. Love is relational. Love expects. Love initiates. Love is contagious. You look through that list as I gave you. In a minute, I'll review it. But know that on some level, even if it's small, cautiously and with great intention, seek to put love toward that unlovable person. And if nothing else, it'll change you. It'll deepen your capacity for being a lover. And the next two things are these. Love lives long. Love does not have short-term vision. Love has long-term vision. Love sees the big picture, looks beyond the day that it's in, beyond the week, beyond the month, and even the year. Love seeks a long-term perspective. And last but not least, love believes. 1 Corinthians 13, you could go through that list 1,000 times and never exhaust the beauty of it. Love believes all things, hopes all things. Love believes, love believes, love believes. Love has faith. Faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. And why? Because love anchors faith and hope. Without love, faith is useless. Without love, hope is just some kind of blind optimism. But when you add love to faith, and when you add love to hope, you anchor those values into something powerful. And love will sustain a belief system for as long as it takes to see change. Love never fails, is what 1 Corinthians 13 says. All right, in these last few minutes, let me review this list with you. Love expects. Love is relational. Love is contagious. Love is ready for action. Love is a dreaming art. Love is passionate. Love initiates. Love has a large and wide perspective. Love lives long. Love sees in the big picture. And love believes. Love never ceases to believe. Somehow, some way, to believe, to believe, to believe. I started this broadcast with a quote from my book, and I want to return to it. My book is Radiance. If you go to Google and type in my name, Randy Dean, and the word Radiance, you'll find it in Amazon.com. You can order the book there, or you give me a shout and let me know you'd like a book, and we'll see to it that you get one. Here's a quote from my book, Radiance, page 125. In the absence of love, we become reckless. In the aberrations of love, we become abnormal. But in the full-on transcendency of love, we become free to become the full human beings we were created to be. You were created to make someone or something else better. And the way you do that is by love. I was put on this earth to love you. Whoever you are listening right now, I want you to put everything down out of your hands. Put that phone down. If you're driving, just focus on the road and pay attention to me for just this last minute, and listen to me say carefully to you, I love you. I may have never met you. We have maybe only passed in a hallway or in a large meeting, but maybe I've never seen your face. I'm here to tell you there's three words that can change your life, and these three words are these: I love you. I know I do, because I'm in this life to be alive to love. I'm Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I'm inviting you to join me in this quest. Come on, let's all get out there and be alive to love. Don't let life suck the love out of you. Make your love an inexhaustible reservoir. Be a transcendent, beautiful person by having the one value of life that matters the most, and that's love. Thank you for the privilege of your time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Randy Dean, No BS Bishop. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, share with you. Stay tuned these Saturdays and Sundays here on WPCA, and I'll be back to share with you how to be alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.